All right. Welcome, everyone, in Jesus' name to this part of the service. I want to give a special welcome to the Ron Lamasella family. Where are you at, Ron? Christine, is Christine here this morning? She's not? Okay. Welcome to your family here to the church body. You're welcome. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's stand for a word of prayer before we get into the message here. Father, we do worship you and thank you this morning. Thank you, God, that you're a wonderful God. And Father, we thank you the way that you work in our hearts and lives, the children of men. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom that you impart day by day. Sometimes, Lord, that wisdom takes time to sink into our lives. Other times we seem to get it. But Father, thank you for your patience, your long suffering, and the way that you work with us. So Lord, bless now this service, this part of the service. Bless, Lord, and give me grace to share the message that you've laid on my heart. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. All right, well, I was just meditating on... My wife and I were not here last Sunday, and I was meditating what God would have us to share. I asked Brother Paul yesterday morning what his message was about, and I've been kind of feeling the Lord nudging me toward along the same lines that we've been speaking on, but maybe there's some of you that when you consider some of the Brother Ross shared two weeks ago, and he drew that circle, and the center is the spirit, and the next level is the soul, and then it's the outward, the body. And how that we're led by, as we heed to the voice of the Spirit in our lives, and are led by the Spirit, that's how God continues to sanctify us and enable us to live in victory over sin. But I thought about it. I thought about myself, and I thought about, maybe some of us are at a place we don't hardly know how to get started. Maybe you're at a place of confusion and just at a place of being disoriented in your Christian walk and not quite knowing, sometimes when we go through big things and chronic things in our lives, the noise of those things is pretty loud. So I just wanted to, but this message is kind of for those who are in that place and situation, but also for us all, in seeking God for wisdom for everyday life situations. So the title of my message is, God has the answer for my situation. God has the answer. He has the answer, brethren and sisters. I've found that in my own Christian experience. Sometimes, through difficulty, but I've found he does have the answer. So maybe you're at a place where with some of the things that you've been hearing, where do I start? Where's the starting point with all that I'm working through? And you're in a place, maybe there's fog, maybe there's confusion. And you don't see the way to spiritual life and vitality in the Spirit. You're kind of stuck. You're kind of the place where you're stuck, and you don't see how do I get started in a vibrant Christian life, a life where the Spirit of God is worked out into the other parts of my, into other faculties of my being, the soul and the body. You believe there's a way, but you certainly don't see it. And so I'd like us to turn our Bibles to Isaiah, just to start here a bit. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Here's a scripture that brings out Jesus. It's a prophecy about Christ and Him hearing, awakening morning by morning, and God awakening His ear to hear as to learn. And so much, God, the thought is brought out that God awakened His ear to hear, yes, that He might have a word in season to speak to another. A word in season. We can have a word in season to speak to another that is weary, it says here. But also we can have confidence. Like in verse 5 it brings out, or verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. You know, in that place of hearing the voice of God, there's confidence. There's confidence there, even in the face of persecution. And that's the thought that Isaiah's bringing out here. And then there's confidence against the enemy. It says here, for the Lord God will help me, verse 7. The Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Basically saying, telling the adversary, hey, come on, if you want to contend with me, let's stand together. I mean, I'm not afraid of you. I don't have fear of you, mine adversary. And more specifically, I think of the devil and the adversary of our soul. He is near that, because then the next verse says, he is near that just... Oh, I did read that verse. I'll read it again. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Then verse 9, behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? They shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. And so there's great confidence I see here in hearing the voice of God in our lives. Great confidence as we hear God's voice day by day in our Christian walk. But the next verse says, and that's a hope that I'd like to give us this morning. Maybe there's some of us who are at a place of confusion and disorientation and darkness, and we don't know where to start. And that's the thought here in verse 10. It says, who is among you that feareth the Lord? You know in your heart this morning, I fear God. But I'm confused and I'm just discouraged, and I don't know how to get my footing into a place of where I'm able to get my footing on solid ground. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? You have a heart to obey God. But then it says, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Maybe this morning you're at that place. You're walking in darkness. You absolutely have no light how to move ahead. How do I get started into... And I trust you, you're a believer as I'm speaking to you, to us all this morning, but you don't know how to get started into a vibrant Christian walk that is full of vitality and the spirit of life in Jesus Christ. But he hath no light. And then it says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. So God bless you. If you're at that place this morning, I can feel for you. I've been there, and I've also, you know, sometimes we want to put on the next verse, try to kindle our own fires. But God's heart here brings out, stay upon your God. Don't endeavor to do this thing in your own strength and in your own reasoning. Stay your heart upon your God. And let the voice of God come through into your heart and life and situation at hand. So I'm going to start by, I'd like to go to the book of Proverbs for my first point here. But before I do that, I'd just like to turn, you don't have to turn there, but I'll turn there to Jeremiah 33:3, which we know that verse well. Jeremiah 33:3. And I'm always encouraged with this. You know, he starts, Jeremiah says, he's in the prison. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, you know, so Jeremiah was at a place of distress and difficulty. And you know, Jeremiah was at times he was tempted with discouragement, so much so he basically mentioned the words, you know, why was I ever born? And you know, curse. I think Jeremiah was the one also who cursed the day he was born. So Jeremiah faced distress and difficulty and dark situations. And here he was in a prison in a dungeon. At times, I'm not sure if he was in the, it says he was in the court of the prison. At times he was, I know a time or two he was put into a dungeon. But Jeremiah, out of his difficulty, he says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. And I just simply see him saying, God established the earth. He made the world. Is there anything too difficult for him? In fact, he mentions that the previous chapter, if I can find it there. Is there anything too hard for me? Verse 26 in chapter 32. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Here he says, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So as we consider God and Him being the creator of the universe, which I'll get into a little bit more later, is there anything too hard for Him? When I think and I look at, I was down in Mexico recently with Aaron and Sheila, and just awed at the power of God to put canyons into place and mountain steeps and even giving people ability to live on those mountains. But anyway, it's just amazing. God is an amazing God when we think of Him setting fast the mountains and creating us as human beings who have the five senses that we do. So that's our God. And then he says in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, Call unto me and I will answer thee. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So if you're in a dark situation this morning, Brother Aaron had the message the other week on ask. If you find yourself in a deep, dark situation today, here Jeremiah says, Call unto me, ask of me, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you things that you have not seen. I'll show them to you. I'll reveal them to you. And that's encouraging to me. When I think of dark situations that we pass through sometimes, and sometimes the dark things I face, that God wants to come through when we're in a dark place and even in a confusing place, and if we're disoriented, God wants to come through with His making known to us His ways. I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Okay, let's go to Proverbs now. Proverbs chapter 1. You're not the only one who gets in the book of Proverbs, Paul. I've been enjoying Proverbs. Extremely much lately. We're in the book of Proverbs with the girls in our home, and my, never knew that there was that much in there. But I'm going to, first of all, I'd like to give us the thought here in Proverbs chapter 1. It says, the first six verses I'll read, the heart of God for us to have wisdom and understanding. And that's my first point. God wants to give us understanding to get through life situations and find our way. And that's why I preface the beginning of the message with hearing the voice of God. Because God wants to come through with His voice in your spirit and give you guidance out of the maze of what you face many times in our emotions, which is a part of our soul. Our reasonings, which is a part of our soul as well, and we face those things that want to take away from the voice of the Spirit, our human reasoning and our feelings, and they want to take away from that. We tend to gravitate toward the noise of all of that, and God wants us to learn to hear His voice, and as we hear His voice. As we tune into His voice, no matter how deep and dark the situation, God is able to give light and give wisdom for you to be able to find your way. So, Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. We were pondering that together. As we had discussions in our morning times together. God wants us to understand deep things sometimes. And 1 Corinthians says, Yea, God reveals unto us the deep things. through the Spirit. Forget the exact wording there. But so there's sometimes deep and serious things. There's sometimes deep things also that the enemy tries to bring our way. And it says here that he gives subtlety to the simple. And subtlety simply is the word that we can be crafty against his wiles, against his ways, against his schemes to bring us to naught or to bring us down and just, you know, cause us to sin or discourage us. And that's the thought there, is to give subtlety. That's what I understood, is in the form of craftiness in a good way. And it says, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. So if you're in a place of an openness of heart this morning, take courage. God wants to increase your learning. He wants to increase your knowledge and understanding of His ways, of His precepts, of His desire towards you, or of His... And your ability. He wants to give you understanding and enabling to know how to work through sometimes deep things in your life. Know how to walk through them in faith, in confidence. And as we experience those things, we walk through them, our faith increases. But I just like this. It says to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So God wants to give us, if He wants to give us wisdom for even deep things, certainly He wants to give us wisdom in the everyday life situations that we face, and in the difficulty that you might find yourself in this very day. So God is a God of wisdom. He says to ask. Okay, Proverbs chapter 2. Let's turn there. I just want to take a few verses from Proverbs chapter 2. Here Solomon says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." And I like this next verse. It says, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now listen, brothers and sisters, out of His mouth. You know, that's where it takes a tuning into the heart of God. Tuning into Him. Because out of His mouth is where comes this wisdom and comes this knowledge. Yes, wisdom also, but knowledge and understanding. Out of His mouth, we must be tuned into Him. Must tune into Him. And that's why, you know, when Isaiah said, "Trust in the Lord. He that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God." Because God will come through with His voice as you cast your hope upon the Lord. So He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment or discernment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Every good path. God wants us to understand His ways, His path, what His purposes for our lives and He wants us to understand how to walk through things sometimes, life situations that are difficult, that are not easy, trials we face. But here it's clear that we must, there's got to be a strong desire for wisdom. There's got to be a desire. It's not just going to fall out of the sky. It's not just going to, it's not going to just be some mysterious thing that comes upon us. But there's a need for digging for it. There's a need to cry out for it. There's a need to dig in to the Word of God, the mine of God's Word. And so just encouraging us that the wisdom is... I'll get into that later. I'm almost ready to preach on that now. But wisdom is... there must be a strong desire for it. Do I want God's wisdom? Do I desire it in my life? Am I desperate enough to get through my life situations that I'm facing and ask God for wisdom and dig into the mind of His Word? You know, I find more and more that His Word, it just works. I mean, it works. It's that simple. It works in our lives and hearts. And if we can just mine it out, there it is for us. And I like the thought, you know, I mean, mining for treasures and treasures, gems and silver and gold and so forth. Miners, those who dig for such things are not always guaranteed that they'll find them. But God says, ask for wisdom and I'll give it to you liberally. I'll upbraid not, I won't withhold it from you. Those treasures of wisdom and knowledge and understanding that you need in your life, I will give it to you, and that liberally. As you ask and dig and seek and mine out from His Word those treasures that are in there. They're in there. They can be found. They're in there for the asking, seeking, and knocking. Now turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm just kind of going on these chapters here in sequence somewhat. Chapter 3 and verse 13. I'm going to just show us the let me read it first. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Now, I thought about that the other day, and we were discussing it as a time together there in the morning. I thought, fine gold. I mean, fine gold is purified to where you can see your reflection on it, from what I understand. And it's fine gold. I mean, it's purified seven times, and it's gone through the heat and the fire, and that's of great value and of great worth. But here he says, wisdom is of more value. Wisdom, the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of fine gold and the gain thereof. I mean, it's better than silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. What you gain in your life in wisdom, there's nothing you can compare to it. I mean, and the next verse says that. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Everything you could desire. Fine gold, gems, rubies, silver, every costly thing that you can put your eyes upon, every beautiful thing. I mean, it's not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. That shall encourage my heart. You know, all her paths, every path of wisdom has peace within it. You know, sometimes when we're going through difficulties and things in our lives that are we're working through, it feels like the winds of tempest are blowing against our soul, and we are tempted to lose our bearings. But the end thereof of that path, as you hold faith, the end of that path, and even moving through it, you could be at peace in your soul. Though the storms of life are bashing against your mind and your feelings and everything else wants to tell you contrary to that which God has told you. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. It's just so encouraging, you know, this way of wisdom that God wants to answer. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee. I will give you the wisdom that is needed for your situation at hand. I will give it to you. And that wisdom, nothing can be compared unto it. Jewels, gems, silver, gold, rubies. And, you know, one other thing I like in the book of Proverbs here is that he does compare it. He does somewhat compare it to ornaments in a good way, in that it's so beautiful. I mean, he says it's an ornament of grace to thy neck and a crown to thy head. Or let me see, chapter 1, it says that, a few words on that. They shall be They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy neck and chains unto thy head and chains about thy neck. I still remember when my wife and I lived in Africa. I always knew when this certain tribe came around. It was the Gurungas. Yeah. There was the Fulanis, and the Fulanis were decked out somewhat in jewels, but not like the Gurungas. I mean, when they came around, you just knew who they were. I mean, they were decked out from head to foot almost. And it was beautiful. I mean, it was a beautiful thing to the natural eye to behold. They were just decked out. And here in Proverbs, Solomon compares wisdom to ornaments in that way. That their wisdom is beautiful. It's like an ornament of grace on thy neck. I mean, chains about thy neck, an ornament of grace upon thy head. And there's other places where it brings out verse 9 of chapter 4. It says, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. That's wisdom, brothers and sisters. Wisdom is beautiful to look upon. It's something that is beautiful. Something attractive. Much to be desired. Much to be desired. That's great value in our lives. Tremendous value. Needs to be dug for, but it's not that difficult. It's not that we won't find it. God says that you will, if you ask, I'll give it to you. You'll be able to find that as you dig for it somehow. You'll be able to dig it up. You'll find your way and through my Spirit and being able to dig up even some of the deep things at times of God. And so God wants wisdom is a beautiful thing to look upon. It's very attractive. God wants us to have this. And I call it trait in our lives. I don't even like calling it a trait. It's God Himself. I mean, God wants us to have this wisdom that is from Him in our hearts and lives daily. That our lives can be full of attraction to each other, to the world, to our families, our homes. We can walk in the wisdom of God. Okay, Proverbs chapter 8. I want to go there now. Proverbs chapter 8. Now, if you think wisdom this morning is difficult to find, and it does need to be mined for. Like I said, it doesn't just fall out of the sky, and it's not just on trees that you pluck it off, and there it is, and you can just, you know, it's not quite like that. But here it does say, chapter 8, it says, does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. And this just really blessed me when we were walking through this. Unto you, O men, I call. That just blessed me. Unto me, God is calling for me, a son of man. He said, unto you I call, unto men I call. And unto the sons of my voice, and my voice is unto the sons of men. That just blessed me again to see that God's voice, God's wisdom, He wants to give it to me as a man, as a human being, to the sons of men. God wants to impart this wisdom. O ye simple, verse 5, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be you of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. So he even calls to the simple. Those who are, the simple as I understand it, are kind of the naive, they're kind of ignorant and all, they're kind of naive of spiritual things, maybe or spiritual truth. And he says, oh, ye simple, understand wisdom. I can impart to you wisdom. And even you fools, even if you're a fool, if you hear wisdom, it will be given you. But anyway, the point I wanted to bring out here some is that it's not that difficult to hear wisdom. I thought to myself, you know, it's not that difficult to hear. I mean, it says, does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? I mean, she cries and then it says it's at the she standeth at the top of the high places. So it's like it's wisdom cries out. If we can just see it. You know, at times. It cries out in nature, cries out through His Word, and many times God uses the channel of others in our lives to bring wisdom. Solomon brings that out over and over again. You know, especially the first few chapters here, you know, it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my word, my son," in verse 3 again, "my son, forget not my law." Verse chapter 4, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I will give you good doctrine." And so God often uses the channels of others to bring to our hearts and lives His wisdom. But it cries. Wisdom cries out. It cries out in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the path. You know, wisdom is there for you. As we walk our Christian journey and we're on the path and we find ourselves in a place of wavering a bit, wisdom is there to meet us. It's along the ways of the path. You can find your way. It's right there. It's right alongside the path. And you can find your way through what you're journeying through. And as you come to a Y in the road, there it is. There it is. Wisdom is there to tell you to give you direction on which way to turn. Wisdom. It's there. It says it's by the way, where am I at here? She crieth at the gates. You know, in the olden times is where the elders of the land sat at the gates of the city. And everyone passed through the gates. And so there it was. Their wisdom was right at the gates of the city. Anyone that needed wisdom, there it was. Right at the gates. Right at the entering in. Into the city. And so wisdom cries out. It's not that easy. I mean, not that difficult to hear. One place I think it says it cries out in the streets. I'm not sure where that's at. In chapter 1 it says, "Wisdom crieth without. She utters her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse." We all know what a concourse is in an airport. You know, it's where the people walk. A concourse is where the people, multitudes of people are walking down the concourse toward the gate, toward the gate of where they're to where they get on their airplane, where they get on the plane. And so she cries in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gate, in the city she uttereth her voice, her words, saying. But anyway, wisdom, if we can tune in, it's not that difficult to hear. It's all around us. It's alongside the path, entering in at the gate. Tops of high places. When we're, you know, in chief places of concourse. In our, I equate that a little bit to our busy lives. You know, we're out and about, we're moving about, and all of a sudden something comes our way that's... we need wisdom. You know, and God is there. Wisdom is there to meet us. If we can hope in the Lord, put our trust and gaze upon Him during times such as that. Okay, now I'd like to go to Proverbs chapter 8, or let me see, where was I at? It's Proverbs chapter 8 again. Just like to bring out I'm having to get my thoughts together here a little bit. I'd like to bring out the thought here in verse 17. And I'll read verse 17 through 21. It says here, "I love them that love me early. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." Again, that, as we had these discussions lately, you know, it just came to me again, you know, how God wants us to acquire substance in our spiritual journey, in our spiritual lives. He desires to give us substance. And in fact, he says here, "I will fill their treasures." So God wants to give us something of substance, not something vague or something obscure or something that's kind of nebulous, But God wants to give us something of substance. Something that we know we have possessed. We have within us. It's become a part of us. We've inherited it. We possess it. And it's ours. It says, riches and honor are with me. Durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is, again, he says, better than gold. Yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment. Again, that path of judgment, as I understand it, is a path of discernment. You know, finding our way, discerning the path that God would have us to traverse in. Then, going on down this chapter, verse 22, it says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way. Before His works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the earth. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depths. When He established the clouds above, when He has strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delight were with the sons of men." I love that again. You know, here the heart of God is bringing out, Solomon is bringing out, you know, the Lord possessed wisdom before He ever created the world. He possessed it. He possessed it before He ever began creation. And I think He's bringing that out to show that God is a God of wisdom from eternity past. But when it came time to create the world, that's where we can see it more so. We can see it through what He created. And I like to look at this as the power of wisdom. The mighty power of wisdom. The power of wisdom. In the heart of God as He created the earth. The mountains, they were settled. The hills were brought forth. And He prepared the heavens. He established the clouds. He strengthened the fountains of the deep. And all these things. Then it comes down. It says, He rejoiced. It says in verse 31, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth. You know, when God made the world, after it was all done, it says, and God saw that it was good. He rejoiced at the wisdom that He used to create this earth. He rejoiced in it. He rejoiced in the habitable part of His earth as He looked on all that He had made. But then it says, you know, in essence, God is saying, but I have a secret with you, or I want to bring out to you, but really, my delights. I rejoice in the habitable part of the earth, but my delights are with the sons of men. That's whom I delight to give wisdom to. My delight is to give them wisdom, to pour out my wisdom upon the sons of men, upon those who I created with, who have the breath of life. Those are who I really delight to give wisdom to. I delight to pour it out. I delight to give them answers for their questions. I delight to give them direction for their journey. I delight to give them wisdom when they're in a place of not quite knowing which way to turn. I delight in giving the sons of men wisdom. God desires that. He desires to give us answers. Wisdom for our journey. Chapter 9. I just want to conclude with this in Proverbs chapter 9. Then I'll go on to the next point yet. It says here, wisdom, chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has killed her beasts, and she has mingled her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon... There's that cry again. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. And, you know, this, I see, let me ask you this question. It says wisdom has hewn out our seven pillars. What do you think when you think of the number seven? Anyone? Right. Perfection? Anyone else?
Completion?
That's what I think of. I think of perfection, completion, you know, the 7 days in a week. I think God equates the number seven to completion. And so that encouraged my, as we study together, it just so encouraged my heart to realize that, you know, God wants to complete what He has begun in me. The good work that He, what does it say in Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And what's God's heart when we think of what He wants to perform in my life? Well, I think of completion. I think of maturity. I mean, not sinless perfection. I'm not talking about that. But I believe God wants to grow each one of us up into maturity in our Christian walk. Maturity, that we're complete, we're whole. Maybe some of us are not whole in our Christian life. Maybe we're still working through past issues and they want to kind of drag, you know, kind of follow us like they, you know, like I've had to work through. And they just kind of want to, you know, pull us down at times. And praise God, we can find our way through all of that. But God finally wants to bring it to completion. He wants us to get to a place of maturity. And a place like it says, I think of 1 Thessalonians, it says, or I think it's Timothy. Let me just quickly turn to there if I get it right. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You don't have to turn there necessarily. But it says here in Timothy, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every, and so that's one seal, is that the Lord knoweth them that are His. The second seal is, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And this has to do with sanctification. This does not have to do so much with salvation. As sanctification, it says here, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, the things that I, from my understanding, means to purge himself from the things that dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. I love that. You know, we could get to a place in our Christian journey where God pronounces upon us sanctified. It's, in a sense, past tense. You know, Christian maturity, not sinless perfection, but He pronounces sanctified. Meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. And again, I think that, you know, I think that has a lot to do with wisdom. As we walk through our Christian journey and God sanctifies us, God puts His finger on an area of our lives and we deal with it. We're willing to deal with it. First of all, surrender needs to be in place, like has been shared the last number of Sundays. You know, but the next principle, the next thing that very much is a need to be, but the other thing that needs to be in place is that of faith. You know, we must have faith to please God. And so I'm quite sure where I was going with all that, but anyway, yeah, completeness, the you know, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. God, through our Christian journey, as we are allow ourselves to be sanctified through surrender and through our heart rising up in faith, as God speaks His word into our heart and spirit. He speaks His word. He's faithful. As we have an open heart, He will speak into our spirit. Commandments and promises. Will our heart rise in faith in those times? Or will we turn away in unbelief and doubt? Well, yeah, I've been in this so long, I don't think I can get out of this. Or this, the will of God that He's pointing out to me is too hard. It looks too difficult. I can't, that's the purpose of God that I'd rather not have. But God wants to bring us, if we're willing vessels, God wants us to bring us to a place of completion, maturity, where we are sanctified, meet for the Master's use, He says, and prepared unto every good work. That's encouraging to me. That's just encouraging when I think of my Christian journey, you know. But God wants to bring me to that place. I don't feel like I'm there yet, but I feel like God is working to get me there. And amen. Okay. And this, study out sometime the thought of, I'm not going to elaborate on this one, but this came through Sarah, and I know where Sarah got it from. The thought in James chapter 3 says the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle. There's seven attributes here. And are those the seven pillars that God is, that Solomon is speaking about? I'll give you that for food for thought. Okay, one other point I want to bring out this morning. And this doesn't, we'll be in Proverbs some here. But there's another aspect to wisdom, and I was just alluding on it a few minutes ago here. There's another aspect to wisdom. And when God speaks His wisdom into my heart and into my spirit, into my fog, into my confusion, wherever you're at this morning, and that's why I want to give you hope, all of us together. I've been to a place of distress, and God is able to give His voice is able to give direction into your spirit and give you wisdom to get started, if I can say it that way. Or give you wisdom how to move on if you're stuck this morning. And He's able. His voice. As His voice speaks into that area of your life, you have a decision to make. Am I going to believe? First of all, sometimes a surrender needs to take place. But if the surrender is in place, you know, there's surrender and there's faith. I mean, I look at faith as, I know faith is a part of surrender, but faith sometimes needs to rise up more so than, you know, surrender is a yielding where faith needs to take hold of God's Word and promises and claim them as my own. They're mine. They're mine to possess. And so when God speaks into your spirit and gives you direction in your fog, in your situation, in your difficulty, whatever you might face in a day's time, that's where there's a necessity to then to keep. And I say that somewhat to us, to those of us who might have had or still have loud emotional noise and reasonings. I don't know how the rest of you find it, But, you know, I've had to work through those things. Loud, you know, just feelings and emotional noise and reasonings. But I found the real secret and a real key is, if I can just bring that out now, is to not doubt in the darkness what God has spoke to me in the light. And, you know, when Isaiah says, let him trust in the, him that is in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Well, God, if you stay upon God, He will speak into your situation. He will. Granted, it'll come. His voice will come. But, you know, and as you take hold of it by faith, it'll give direction. It'll give direction to your journey. It'll give you answers. And yeah, it'll give you direction. But, you know, as we journey along, sometimes those same trials, sometimes those same traumas and memories come back to our mind, and we have to work through that thing again. And we're tempted to revert back, and I have reverted back. You know, I have, and I acknowledge it. I've reverted back many times into my old ways, but I'm getting stabilized. But that's the temptation when we're working through deep things to revert back. With all those memories and noise that still wants to hit our soul. The soul part of us. Soul is the mind, the emotions, the will. That soul part of us is hit by those memories and traumas again. And we want to go revert back to the old way that felt more secure and felt more like, you know, just felt more secure. Sometimes that might be self-effort. It might be various things that you revert back to. But I found as I keep the commandment of the Lord or the promise of God, God keeps coming through all that. All that noise. All that noise that would want to turn me aside. All that noise, and God, you know, and thus I become established. I begin to become established in the ways of the Lord and in new patterns in my life. But that's where the difficulty is to hold faith. Are you going to hold faith in that hour when you want to go back to your old ways, old patterns and ways of doing things and securities that you held on to for so long in your life? Proverbs 4, I'll just read the scripture here. Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. First of all, there is a necessity to incline, to hear. But then Solomon furthermore says, let them not depart from thine eyes. There is a necessity to once we have heard, once we have inclined, and it's been spoken into our spirit, then that we don't allow that to depart from mine eyes. We don't allow it to, we hold fast. And the word keep, I'll bring it out in a little while. The word keep has so many powerful meanings to it. But it says here, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That's in essence, I mean, yes, we do it by the grace of God, but it's a responsibility of ours to keep that which God has spoken. And, you know, yeah, and it may be in the form of a promise, it may be in the form of a command. But here it says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So that word keep has been, I know somebody preached on that recently, but even before that, I had someone understood the meaning of that word, and it's been very precious to me for a number of years now. You know, if I keep the Word of God, God does the outworking of the rest. In other words, if I keep that word that's been spoken into my spirit, and I hold, you know, I rest in it, and I don't allow it to slip, God works out the fulfilling of it in my life. So I've been very excited about that word keep. It's just it's a word that I came across and I realized, you know, it takes away a lot of the performance and the I have to obey God in order to please Him. No, God says if you love God, keep my commandments. You're pleasing to me if you keep my commandments in your heart. And you're finding your way, yes, in all the outworking and fulfilling of it. That might take time. But as we keep the word of the Lord, we are pleasing to God. And we are showing love to God. He that loveth me keepeth my commandments. And it also says, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the word of... I'm sorry, in him verily. And I like that word verily. In him truly. In him verily is the love of God perfected. So keepeth my word, his word, and him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. 1 Thessalonians 1:2 speaks about the work of faith. You know, I just want to bring that out a little bit. Let me elaborate first on the word keep. The word keep means to watch, and this has three different meanings in the Hebrews. I mean, there's I looked it up in the dictionary at Strong's Concordance. The word keep is found in the Old and New Testament, and it has three different meanings. I'm not sure anymore whether these are Hebrew or Greek, but they're all basically the same thing. So I'll say the first meaning here. To keep is to watch, be on guard, preserve, obey, observe. And then there's another meaning. To hold down, hold fast, keep in memory, make towards, possess, retain, seize on. And then the third meaning is to guard, to watch from injury and loss, to prevent escaping. I like that. prevent something from escaping us, to keep them in the midst of our hearts. And so how, you know, what does it mean to keep? You know, sometimes, like I said, it's been a battle for me in some areas of my life to keep the Word of the Lord because of all the other noise of my soul that I face at times. And that's been a struggle. And Titus speaks about holding fast the faithful Word. And what I see there is our responsibility is to hold fast. God's responsibility is to outwork it, is the outworking of His Word in our lives. But we have responsibility to keep that which God has spoken into our spirit. So turn your Bibles yet to Hebrews chapter 4. I just want to go there. Hebrews chapter 4. Sometimes some of us, at least for years, I long for rest in my life. I just long for a greater rest. I knew that, you know, I knew that I was endeavoring to walk with God, but I felt like, you know, why does Hebrews speak about this rest for the people of God? And, you know, and sometimes I don't feel like I'm really at rest. And so in chapter 4, verse 9 of chapter 4, it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his." So when we're entered into his rest, like in Canaan, you've ceased from your own works. It says, as God did from his, you know, in the seventh day that he created the world. But then it says, you know, this sounds so contradictory. It says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into his rest." And I remember during the Touching the Invisible series is when that it became alive to me. That, okay, what does that mean to labor? And that was brought out, and I'd like to read a little portion of that just soon from Touching the Invisible there. But that was brought out so clearly. To labor and into rest is a struggle of faith that we sometimes have. In other words, a struggle to hold fast. The battle's at hand. We have now confessed to the Lord that our stronghold or the area of need in our lives, and now, you know, we can be assured, for one thing, our adversary the devil is not thrilled with that. But secondly, it's just simply mind patterns that maybe we've been entrenched in. They want to take us back to our old ways and ways of doing things. And there's the necessity to labor. To labor in faith. To labor in faith. Because as you labor, the promise is there. Labor to enter into his rest. As you labor in faith, the day will come. Just like the children of Israel, they had to fight the battles of Canaan. But then after Joshua fought those kings and those people of Canaan there, the day came when it says, "And the land had rest from war." And so there's that labor, there's that engaging in the fight. There's that engaging and saying, "Lord, by your grace, I'll hold fast to the word that you speak to me. And in the midst of my turmoil that I might pass through in endeavoring to come into this come into Canaan, to enter into the land of rest. By your grace, I'm going to keep your word. By your grace, I'm not going to throw away or let slip away that which you've spoken into my spirit." And God will use that very word to bring you into the land. That's what I see. And it says here, "For the word of God is powerful, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, for a long time I thought, we all know the word rhema in the Word of God. You know, when God speaks a quickened word to us, it's the word rhema. And one day I went to this word and I figured, surely this is the word rhema too. Lo and behold, it's the word logos, which is the written word, and just, you know, yeah, the written word as we know it, and And God just began to work in my heart more recently and minister to me that as we take in the Word of God, it's not always a rhema, as we take in the Word of God from day to day, our concepts are changed. The way we view things are shifted. The way we view things are changed. That there's a necessity to take in the written Word, and God uses that in our daily meditations to change our way of thinking. I saw that in a new way, and that's kind of what, I wish I would have looked it up but before I came here again, but that's kind of what I understood the meaning of it. You know, it has more to do with the concept of things, of the principles of things, the way things work in God's economy, in God's kingdom. And as we take in the Word of God, we take in His Word, day by day, our life is changed. We begin to view things differently. And it even pierces into those things. It says piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Well, how can you separate that? Or bone and marrow. That's hard to separate. But it pierces into those things. And I found that in my life. I mean, the emotions and reasonings are so intertwined with our spirit that we tend to sometimes get confused. But God wants to separate those things. What is of spirit and what is of soul? And through the Word of God, through the study of God's Word, through taking in God's Word, and yes, sometimes He speaks remas during that whole process as well, giving us direction and wisdom. But through that whole process, you know, we can enter and find our way and finally enter into rest. I mean, yeah, it says here, labor therefore to enter into His rest. God uses His Word to get us there as we keep that which He's spoken into our spirit. And let me just read from Touching the Invisible just a few paragraphs here, and then I'll close. This really helped me. This really helped me here. God bless you, Brother Emmanuel. I remember Sunday afternoons. I still remember the time when God just, you know, opened that to my spirit in a much greater way. Understanding what it means to labor and then finally to enter into His rest. And this is what really helped me. It says here, it has been, as said above, a further stage in the appropriation of faith, a fulfillment of the one law of the new life, according to your faith be it unto you. And do not let us forget, faith begins by being a labor or fight. Although it is consummated in a rest. That is to say, the first stage of faith is always a battle of taking hold by the will, heart, and intelligence of some truth or promise which is not real to us in experience, and declaring it to be ours in spite of appearances. We do not appear to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. We are told to believe it, and so we dare to do so and declare so. 1,000 times maybe faith will be assaulted and fall. Unbelief will say nonsense, and we shall belie our declaration of faith. But the fight or labor of faith means that we deliberately return to the assault. Once again, we believe and declare it. This we persist in doing. As we thus follow in the steps of those who by faith and patience inherit the promises, a new divine thing will happen within us. The Spirit will cooperate with our faith, as He is invisibly doing all the time, and to faith will be added assurance or rest. To faith will be added assurance. Labor and fight will be replaced by rest. The consummation of faith has been reached. What once was an effort to attain or maintain now becomes as natural as breathing. I was so encouraged with that over that time. You know, I was working through some things and what once was an effort to attain or maintain now becomes as natural as breathing. Such is the law of faith, whether exercised in sanctification or in any of the later or higher reaches of Christian experience. So I just wanted to show us, you know, that labor, the consummation of laboring in faith is that of rest. In an area of our lives that we struggle in, have patterns in, God's intent is to bring us to a rest in that area. But it might be a labor of faith to get there. That's what I see. That's what I believe. It's thought is bringing out. So, amen. Through the truth that sets us free, we've been brought out of darkness, and we can see and understand our way through wisdom, through keeping God's commands and His promises. We can find our way through keeping His Word, not doubting in the darkness that which we've heard in the light. Keeping the Word of the Lord to our spirit and heart. Okay, in closing, I'd like to just say this, be patient. James chapter 5. Just a few scriptures I want to bring out about patience. Hebrews, James, chapter, did I say 5? Verse 7 and 8, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. And I just want to encourage our hearts. Well, then it says, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And I just want to encourage our hearts, if there, you know, through the whole sanctification process, or through God dealing with difficult things that we have in our lives, or I just want to exhort you all as a body, be patient with yourself. God, I found Jesus is so meek and lowly with all my stumblings and all my, Brother Denny said, used to say, bumblings. Christ is very lowly in heart. In fact, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You know, very rarely, when I fell and stumbled, have I heard the Lord's rebuke in my life. Many areas, there's been other areas, but in the areas, some of the deep things I've had to work through, very rarely have I had the Lord rebuke me in those areas. In fact, I don't remember Him ever. It was just, He's so meek and lowly and patient with us. And be patient, says, establish your heart for the coming of the Lord. Establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And I don't know, that might be the second coming of the Lord, but I also like to equate it as the coming of the Lord in our own lives and in His outworking to completion, that which He's begun. I like that thought as well. That be patient for the completion of the work that God is doing in your heart. That's how I've kind of applied it to my life. Romans 5, verse 5 through 15. Romans 5 says, and we know these verses, but it says here, verse 3 says, not only so, it's talking about this faith by whom we have, therefore being justified by faith. It brings out in verse 1, and we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, verse 2. But then it says in verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience. That's what encouraged my heart recently. You know, I was sharing with one of the girls here and just sharing that patience works experience. You know, as we walk through things patiently in our lives, we experience the thing that God wants to do in our heart. I was just so encouraged with that. Never quite seen it in that way before. As I walk through that patiently, I experience the very thing that God wants to do. And then hope, then experience worketh hope. You know, it gives me hope for others, but it gives me hope for myself for the next trial I might face and walk through. But as I walk through things patiently, I experience the thing that God wants to do, and that always ends up in hope. And then it says, hope maketh not ashamed, or is not disappointed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And I love that. You know, I think I've often thought of the love of God being shed abroad for others, and I think that is part of it there. But I think it's the love of God being shed abroad in my heart through all those faculties of things that I'm working through. You know, the love of God, as I walk through that patiently, it's shed abroad all over my heart and life, into the different faculties and into the different areas of need, and it's shed abroad inside there. And James chapter 1, I'll conclude with this verse here. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith again worketh patience. Then he says, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect or mature and entire or complete, wanting nothing and lack of nothing. So that encourages me. So I want to encourage us in two ways this morning. I want to encourage us who are, you know, walking the path of sanctification, that God wants you to make you a vessel that is complete. Complete. Sanctified. Meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. He wants to make you complete. Perfect and entire. Wanting nothing. But I'd like to say this also, for who you are, for us who are walking through difficult things and we're trying to find our way, this is also a scripture for you, for us. And that is God as your patience. You'll experience what God wants to experience. It'll give you hope for the next step in the journey. The next difficulty you might need to work through in getting out of some of those struggles. I know struggles sometimes and difficulties and bondages, they have many different facets and angles to them. And so as you walk through the one and experience God's grace, it gives you faith for the next one. You experience that and on you go into a life of maturity and completion as well. So amen. God desires to give His people wisdom and understanding to that end. He desires that. He wants to give it to us. Wisdom isn't that difficult to find. Sure, it needs to be mined out. It needs to be sought after. But it's not that difficult. It says it cries out. So I just want to point out the way to you, point out the way to us this morning. But God has the answer for my situation, my daily life situations, your spiritual situation, my spiritual situation, your emotional baggage, my emotional baggage. God has answers to every life situation. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. That's where to start, brothers and sisters. God bless.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.